The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas. To those guests who've just joined us, welcome. Our next stop is the Magic Kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching our station at the entrance to Main Street USA, gateway to the seven theme lands of the Magic Kingdom.
Welcome aboard the Monday Morning Monorail Podcast. This is Justin Monorail. I'm trying some different things. Just changing it up. And I am here today with my Monorail family, minus one, but plus one. Who does math? Let's not do math on a podcast. I'll start by introducing the family in the room with me. And we will begin with...
Chicken Nugget.
Chicken Nugget. Welcome back, Chicken Nugget.
That name's getting old.
Why?
Because I said it a lot.
Yeah, but it's you. If you changed it, people would have no idea who you were anymore.
That's true.
Garrett Monorail is here. Sitting beside Garrett Monorail.
Samantha Monorail.
Samantha Monorail is here. No McKenna Monorail today. She's got the day off. We gave her the day off.
It's time for her to come back, though.
Yeah, it is time for
I'm
her
ready.
To be back. Yeah. But we do have our... What would we say? He's the Monorail Godfather. He's the Godfather of Chicken Nugget.
And McKenna.
I know, but the t-shirt says Godfather of Chicken Nugget.
I agree.
Available in the Tea Public store.
He is Landon the Dawsdone. Landon, welcome back to the Monorail.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Landon, coming to you from the Isolation Station of Love. How y'all doing?
Good. We miss you.
I miss y'all, too. And we were talking a little bit before we got rolling. Seeing y'all's post being back in the most... magical place on earth, making me a little jealous and a little nuts. So hopefully people start or continue to wear their dang masks so we can stomp this thing down, because I want to get back down there.
I know.
Actually, 1 year ago today, as of this recording, I was in the Magic Kingdom. So thank you, Facebook, for making me even sadder that this is all going on.
Yeah, that's a sad reminder for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. No
yeah,
kidding.
Hashtag Dawes did Disney.
And Dawes will do Disney again. Hopefully sooner than later, but
no
yes,
kidding.
We all have to be in this thing together and trying to do our best to start to eradicate the problem. Well, you mentioned it, so I'm just going to get right into it. We were in the park yesterday, in the park, mm-hmm. the Animal Kingdom park.
It was amazing.
So good to be back. By the way, this is episode 116. Today is July the 13th, 2020. So as of the 10th, we attended the Animal Kingdom pass holder preview. And man, it was wonderful to be back in a Walt Disney World park. I am glad we went with the Animal Kingdom because, I mean, you know, as they have now opened up to regular guests, I think Magic Kingdom's still going to be busier on a day-to-day basis, but... The crowd we had yesterday was just pretty amazing.
Like, and it was Friday, which is Funky Monkey Friday, so we have to go to Animal Kingdom to see the monkeys.
Funky Monkey Friday?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is, but I love it.
Did you miss out on him talking about this yesterday? Because he brought it up several times.
Yeah.
Oh, nope, didn't miss that. I definitely heard you.
Okay.
I'm a good mom.
Just, yeah. We were just bringing it up so the listener would hear what Funky Monkey Friday is. It's a social media thing, right?
You can search it up on YouTube. There's a Twitter account that posts it every Friday.
Okay. There you go. We like to give recommendations for fun Twitter handles and things to check out, so this will be the one for today.
Yeah, shout out with also to Snicks with Hands. I love that side.
I love that win.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Let's just try to walk through our experience. Landon, you know, you mentioned that you're jealous, you're watching us from afar, you wish you could be in the parks. But I know also that you have been feeling pretty anxious about getting out in the crowds and being around people, as honestly, as have we. And so as we go through this, I think kind of the way that we'll structure the show is we'll tell you just what kinds of things we experienced, what we saw. And, you know, as we go through, if you've got questions, just let us know, because I'm sure that people listening have a lot of questions about this as well. And maybe this will convince you that, you know, it sounds like it's safe enough to come down. Or maybe you make the choice, well, you know, that just sounds like it's too odd of an experience, or things are a little too modified and I just don't want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say off the top, I watched the video you posted to YouTube. By the way, go subscribe to the Monday Morning Monorail on YouTube, whatever it is. Ha, I'm good at this. It was eerie seeing the lack of people in Animal Kingdom, particularly right in front of the Tree of Life. There was, I remember one shot, I don't know if it was in the video or if it was on y'all's social on the Twitter. There's like literally nobody in front of the tree. It's like,
yeah.
It was kind of eerie a little bit.
It was. It is. But trust me, you get used to that pretty quick and you're like, okay, it should always be like this.
Yeah. It felt like I had the park to myself, and I mean, there were people, but it does make you feel like it's personalized almost, because everybody's like paying attention to you, and
yeah.
You can easily do what you want. It was awesome.
Mm. We were frequently in situations where we were outnumbered by cast members, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting. Let's start off with the parking lot experience. So this is something that we had heard about, and I don't know if Disney actually announced they were going to do this. I feel like they said at Disney Springs, when people parked in the garages, they were going to space out the parking spaces like and leave empty, like do every other parking space. But they haven't been doing that.
No, not at all.
So I didn't know if they were going to do that in the parking lots at Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, but they did. They did space the cars out. So while they were still having you park, like, they're very long. If you are familiar with the theme park parking lots, the spaces are double spaces. So a car will pull in and then another one pulls behind it. But then they would leave the next one open and then put people in the next one. So they were spacing them out. Honestly, there's typically plenty of parking. They should just do this all the time, because I can't tell you the number of times that we've pulled in and be smashed in between cars on either side. And then it's like, do I get out first? You get out first. Me, you, me, you. And like people, I'm sure people get tons of door dings in,
oh, yeah,
in the mm-hmm. theme park parking lots and stuff, because it's tight.
It is tight.
Yeah. So I'm glad they're doing this. That was a good first step, Disney.
And especially Animal Kingdom, that parking lot is massive.
It's not as big as Epcot's, though. Epcot's is giant.
Yeah, I always was.
Yeah, so it is big, too.
It is. Well, these are the two parks with the biggest capacity. Epcot and Animal Kingdom.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so of course they've got to have bigger parking lots. I wonder if the way the Epcot one is laid out makes it feel like it's smaller? Because it doesn't go like... Basically, I think the Animal Kingdom one is longer. The Epcot one is wider.
That's true, because it's
like compact together.
Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't as many rows, but the row goes really far out. Like, if you get mm-hmm. the last spot on the row, oh my gosh, oh, and man. You're oh, in the so back.
Yeah, so parking was good. Then we get to security, and of course, the first thing you do is you go through temperature checks. They've got the little hold the pistol to your head like you're being executed. You get your temperature checked, and then they just say you're either good or not. We were good. We got to move on through.
And he actually told me what my score was.
Your score?
Mm-hmm. I was 97.6 degrees.
That's an A.
Oh, man, you just missed out on the cutoff for a Space Cadet Ranger.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I got an 100, so.
You don't want 100.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's a game you want to try and win, quote unquote.
Yeah. I aced the test.
So we get through temperature check. The next thing, of course, is typically bag check. Well, at Animal Kingdom, they've implemented this whole new system. It's this new technology. the way that I was kind of explaining it yesterday is, imagine you're going into, I don't know, let's say Hollister, and they've got like the theft prevention kind of.
Oh, those big giant like mechanical sensor readers.
Sensors, yeah. On either side of the door, right? That's what these look like, except they almost have like a blue glow on the inside of them. And so they told us as we were walking up,
don't pull anything out of your pockets.
Don't take your bags off. Don't take anything out of your bags. Just walk through.
Wow.
And we did. And I got yelled at because I was recording. Shouldn't have been recording. Didn't know it was like a TSA thing.
Well, you learned something. So there you go.
I learned. Don't record when you're walking through the scanners. But we walk through. You just go. One thing we learned yesterday that apparently it was updated on the website, but I didn't know about it till we were in the parks, is we know you're required to wear face coverings the entire time that you're in the park. Now, I thought that as long as you had something that just covered your mouth and nose, you were fine. I didn't know that there were specific restrictions or recommendations on what to wear. Now, we, of course, had the kind of face mask that loops behind your ear and it fits just over your mouth and nose, like the typical face mask. But I had started doing some research about those gator mask, G-A-I-T-E-R mask, because mm-hmm. I keep hearing people say, oh, these things they're cool, they're comfortable, they actually, you can get moisture wicking, it feels like you can breathe easier. So I'd been doing some research on those, highly considered buying them, specifically to go into the parks yesterday and come Sunday. But while we're in the park, it was actually Aaron, the Tiddly Tender,
mm-hmm.
Our Nomad Lounge bartender, that told us that the gator masks are specifically prohibited. You can't wear those in the parks. And after I tweeted that, some people responded saying, yeah, Disney updated their site yesterday. Okay, well, I don't scour Disney's website every day for changes.
Why?
Why don't you? It's not like you host a Disney podcast or anything where you have to be up to date on the most current information.
Right? Well,
mostly because we like to say, we know nothing. We're not experts. We're just people who love going to Disney and we like talking about it.
Why would that be?
Because they're not... one of the requirements says it has to be two layers of fabric, and I'm pretty sure gators are a single layer.
I believe you're right. Like in my day job on News Talk 98.7, we actually had a news story about the reopening, and they made mention that those gator masks are prohibited. So, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine it's a covering, you know, so.
But I guess it just doesn't stop the droplets from coming out of your face the way a regular mask does.
Dang face droplets.
Yeah, but they... okay.
I don't know.
Well said.
Yeah, good point. So,
I don't know.
Anyway, I just want to say it because I want people... I know there's a lot of people who have those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can mm-hmm. you imagine not realizing that rule came out and you were going into the parks and they turned you away?
Mm-hmm.
I would ask. I'd be like, bummer. So can you bring me one? I will pay you for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave because... Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know?
And they
After
are
you put
selling
all that effort in to get there, be like, nope, go away.
Yeah. And they are selling all the new cool Disney masks in the souvenir shops in Animal Kingdom. We saw them.
Yeah.
So they have them.
Yeah. But if you can't get in to go get one.
Right. They probably should have a stand out front. And I didn't see one. Why would they not do that?
Yeah. I would think that if you were going through security and they said you don't have the right type of mask, you can go right there and buy one.
Yeah. Of course, people would do it.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine how many masks they would sell?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in the park, because I know on Shop Disney, the only option for the masks is to buy them in a 4-pack, and I think they're $19.99. Are they that way in the park, or are they like single individual masks?
Yeah, single.
Individual, yeah.
How much are they if you buy one individually?
$6.
They're six individually.
And three for 15 or something. Like that?
I don't think it's three for 15.
Or four
I think
for 20, I
it's
mean.
Four for 20. Like,
okay.
Or $6 each. Like, you save a dollar.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, the 3 for $15 was a universal thing, and we don't talk about universal in this podcast.
Oh, you just said it.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did see someone today whenever I went to get lunch. I was picking up some takeout, and she had on the Hello Kitty mask, and I was kind of like, oh, I wish I would have gotten it.
Well.
Okay, but anyways.
Maybe next time.
Back to Disney.
So.
I'm not going back to Universal.
So at this point, we're in the parks. We've gotten in, and really, like, there was no line at the touch points for the Magic Band. Actually, we didn't touch the Fast Pass or the touch point stands like that are there typically. It was just the cast members had iPads and scanners, so you're not scanning your fingerprint. You're not touching anything, but you just have to get close enough to a cast member so they can scan your Magic Band. And then we were in. And really, I mean, I know we got there around... The park opened at 8. We got there around 8:40.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was no wait. We walked right through everything.
And it was raining.
It was
so
raining.
So much rain. But then, like, the best thing about it was, I swear, there are new animals that I haven't seen. Or maybe I just haven't paid enough attention. But at the very front, there were some cool birds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then as we went
They're called ducks.
No, not just the ducks.
The Disney ducks have been in the news, unfortunately, this week.
Yeah.
There was a swan.
Yeah?
Yeah, that black swan. That was pretty cool.
I don't think swans are cool. They're just fancy geese.
He's not wrong.
Hashtag swan hater.
I hate geese, so...
Hashtag geese hater.
Yeah. And swans are just geese, so...
Do you just hate waterfowl? No, you like ducks.
Ducks are good.
Yeah, he loves ducks. Yeah,
like geese
ducks.
Are just really mean.
Yeah, that's true. They are.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There's that one goose in Untitled Goose Game that just causes all sorts of mayhem. For
I
that
love
poor
that
town.
Goose, though.
Oh, that is a fun game.
So, moving into the parks now, you know, we made our way through kind of the main hub with the Tree of Life. It was totally empty. Unbelievably empty. Again, yeah. Go check out our video, Monday Morning Monorail, on YouTube, because it's... Even when we went with Nate and Serena to the DVC Moonlight Magic... By the way, you need to check out the DVC Duo blog. They're awesome. But even when we were at that event, there were still people around most times. You know, it was a thin crowd, but still around people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were speaking, again, with Aaron at Nomad Lounge, he said... A typical day in Animal Kingdom, they might have somewhere around the neighborhood of like 35,000 to 40,000 people. And he said that he estimates, I don't know if he was told this, I think it was his estimate, that the park was really closer to like 2,500.
Holy crap.
Yeah. That's how empty it was.
It was empty.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was eerie at some times because some points because... like I was walking by myself through places.
Well, with us.
We didn't
know whenever I went to the bathroom and I couldn't find you guys. Oh. Whenever I came out, I was walking through Pandora and no one was there for a moment. I was like, okay,
we went through the, Everest line and didn't stop a single time.
Both times we rode Everest twice.
Oh my God.
Didn't have to stop.
We literally walked on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't go to Florida. I can't go to Florida.
I know. See, see, that's the balance, I think, because as long as, I mean, I think the crowds, now that regular guests are going into the parks, I think the crowds are going to be a little larger. But if today the My Disney Experience app is any indication, Animal Kingdom still 5 minutes waits for everything, which means walk on.
Even Flight of Passage?
Yeah. Yes, it was still that today.
We only waited.
Holy crap.
Yeah, we only waited for Navi. And the reason why we waited for Navi is because it was raining and we wanted to get out of the rain. And by the time it said it was 25-minute wait, and the cast member told us the only reason why there's that wait is because they're actually sanitizing the boats pretty frequently. And so it takes a little bit longer. But the weather was saying in 25 minutes, well, 30 minutes, the rain was going to pass. By the time we got off, it was not raining anymore, so it was perfect. And we were fine with standing in line there.
It worked out well.
Mm-hmm. Also, in Flight of Passage, we only stopped like 2 times in the line.
That is nuts.
We stopped in the lab area, and then we stopped when you're like going
They sort
up.
You into the lines.
Yeah.
You either go up or down. Yeah.
You mentioned something sanitizing on the boats of the Navi River Journey. What was the sanitation like on other attractions, like particularly Flight of Passage, where you do have to put something on your face and then you're pretty much bolted to something you have to hold on to?
I didn't see a whole lot of sanitization.
Yeah, I will say I did not witness myself any sanitization of ride vehicles.
I was getting on two ride vehicles that someone just got off of.
I used the hand sanitizer after every ride because...
Yeah.
Good call. Good call. Yeah.
That's something that we should point out is there is hand sanitizer everywhere.
No joke. Like, there's hand sanitizer before you get on the ride. There's hand sanitizer when you get off the ride. There's hand sanitizer
throughout the queue to get in. There's a bunch
That's
of hand
great.
Sanitizers.
Yeah, you look... And you're gonna if you just turn around, you're gonna find hand sanitizer somewhere. It's everywhere in the park.
You couldn't swing a Briar Bear plush without hitting a hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but looking on eBay, apparently those are really popular all of a sudden.
I don't know why. I don't get it.
I mean, I hope. Hey, by the way, people, don't buy that stuff. Make those people go broke with spending all their money on stupid merchandise.
You're talking about from the resellers. Don't pay those prices, please.
Don't.
Nope.
No.
Because you encourage it. And let them realize, oh, crap, I'm stuck with 40 Briar Fox stuffed animals. What am I going to do with them?
Yeah, seriously.
And we will all laugh at them maniacally and call them losers.
It's a collection.
Yeah.
If you just have to have one, let me know, and I may consider getting you one.
They won't be there.
And I saw, what was it, Thursday or Friday, there was like a two-hour wait to get into the gift shop for Splash Mountain. Then I saw you, Jay, post on Twitter, Disney execs to their PR team, rebrand every ride. Go now, do it.
Yep, they'll sell out.
Yep. Well,
here's what I observed from our line experience. Where there are switchbacks, where it's unavoidable that the switchbacks are going to cross close to each other, Disney has put up plexiglass walls, so protecting you from being close to other people. But then in other spots, they've done this thing where they try to kind of checkerboard where the standing spots are. So if you imagine a switchback and then you try to place the markers 6 feet apart, eventually you might have people that are standing right next to each other facing opposite ways. Well, what they've done is if there's someone standing here going like forward, then the people coming the other way would be 6 feet apart from them, spaced out. So you're not close to each other. But people don't really understand how this works, because what it results in is sometimes you're in a spot, a social distancing spot, and then you look around and the next one is very far away. So I think people just assume that they're supposed to be 6 feet apart, and they're like, oh, there's one missing here. So they move up sometimes when they're not supposed to. So here's my recommendation. And I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm saying, because it is confusing. It confused us when we did it first at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing to do is if you're staying on a marker, find the next one before you move. And they've marked off every spot. Trust that they have marked off every spot you need to stand in. And then just wait until that one is clear, like the people have moved on, before you even take a step. It's kind of like a look before you leap kind of thing. And that
Which that's just good advice in life, period.
Yeah. So before you start walking, like, keep your head up, pay attention. I think another thing that happens with people when they're in queues is they get distracted with their phones or talking to their friends, because it's boring to stand still. And then you kind of forget. And it's happened to us too. Like, you forget what you're supposed to be doing. You might accidentally walk right up on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, you know, just do your best to try to be aware and look where you're standing is all. But
speaking of walking up on people, other than the queues where sometimes you do have to get close to people, how was the social distancing and mask enforcement? Did y'all see any man babies have meltdowns because they infringe on my freedoms?
No, but we have a good story. Do you want to tell the story? Because you witnessed it firsthand.
Well, so I didn't see what happened at first, what caused the lecture, but... There were two plaids, and they were, you know, talking to someone, and it was a man. And
wait, hold on. What's a plaid? Some people may not know.
Oh, sorry. The people who cost a lot to walk you around Disney.
VIP tour guides.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
VIP tour guides.
But I don't think that they were doing any tours. I think they just have everybody. There are a
All
lot of cast members in the parks. So I think they were just working just to be there and help enforce the rules and stuff. So there were two plaids there, and this guy had his mask off and had a drink in his
hand. Off, was holding it.
Yeah, and he had a drink in his hand. And what I think could have happened because of the conversation was they said to that he needed to put his mask on, but he said he was drinking. And so what they did was, in the Disney friendly way possible, the friendliest way possible, the plaid was saying to the man, and it was the man in plaid saying to him, what you can do is you put your mask on and then you take it off and you take a drink.
Pull it down. Pull it, specifically,
yeah, he said, pull it down, take a drink, and then you put it right back on. He was like, if you need to take your mask off completely, then you can't be walking around. You have to go to a rest area or you have to go off to the side somewhere. If you need to drink, then, and you can't wear your mask while you're drinking, then go find a place where you're not walking around.
And the funny thing about this lecture, the guy that was being lectured was like, oh, okay. Like the thought had never crossed his mind.
He kept going, good point, man. Good point. Yeah, you're right. I could be doing that.
What if the people we're talking about are listening to the podcast?
I hope they are, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wear y'all's dang masks so I, me, Landon, can come down to Florida and go to the theme park. Sorry, you're going to have to edit that.
But here's the thing. In Universal, we've witnessed the same interaction.
Yeah.
And Universal says, hey, you need your mask up. And a person, I told you, like, shook a drink at the guy. And they were just like, okay.
Yeah, like, we've heard people yell the F word and be like, I have an effing drink in my hand. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, why are they not escorted out at that moment?
Right, honestly.
Like, you are in a family park and you're just going to curse like that? You're out.
Right.
You know?
Like, I'm a proponent of four-letter words. Y'all know that very much. But dang, you can't be saying that in Disney.
No.
Well, that happened
at Universal.
Okay, well, maybe at Universal.
Yeah.
Still, you shouldn't be doing that.
But, I mean, there's definitely a difference in the way things are being handled. And I think that the difference is because Disney has a lot of people working right now. They can kind of police it a little bit better. And when they see stuff like that happening, they're telling them, here's what you can do, but you can't just do that. And then they watch them put their mask back on, you know? And I mean, it's very...
Yeah. And actually, I've seen it too. I don't know if it was an official Disney thing I was reading, but what I have seen is listed in the policy, masks are required. If you have to take it off to drink, you need to be pulled off to the side in a rest area or in a restaurant. Like, this is their official policy, which... Great, because it's not that way at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely appreciate seeing that. But that one yesterday was the only kind of, it wasn't a meltdown, but the only interaction mask-wise that we saw. Because honestly, I will say, I felt like people were pretty compliant yesterday.
I think everybody was doing a really good job.
Yeah.
I think that the reason why, like, we all do realize if we don't do this, it's not going to stay open.
Yeah. Another thing you hear kind of as you work your way through the parks is they are frequently playing the announcements about keep your mask on, make sure to social distance, cover your mouth and nose when you sneeze, and wash your hands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I wouldn't say they're not as common as the hand sanitizer stations, but pretty frequently are the hand washing stations.
Yeah.
I would say at least one or two per area that you're in, those are the little kiosk where you have to, like, do the foot pump to get the water going. They've got soap, and then they have paper towels.
Yeah.
And those are all around too. And who knows where that water's coming from? Probably the river.
And the bathrooms are, like, really clean. They should really, you know, reward their cleaning staff, because as soon as I came out of a stall, like, there was a lady ready to go in and start cleaning it. And it just felt comfortable. Like, you know, there were always a couple ladies in the bathroom waiting to clean up after everybody.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there are a lot of cast members. A lot.
Yeah. Let's talk about...
I wonder if that will continue once it's now open to the public, because I would imagine, I mean, y'all said it a couple times, you were outnumbered by cast members in some areas. Will that level of cleanliness, I hope, continue now that John Q. Public can go in and it's not a cast member or it's not a pass holder?
It's a good question. And yeah. I think that's remains to be seen. I guess we'll be seeing tomorrow when we go to Magic Kingdom.
I mean, Animal Kingdom, know has probably a little bit lower crowd, so it's probably a little easier to keep clean than Magic Kingdom would be, because Magic Kingdom's like the one that everybody tries to go to.
You know what doesn't make sense about that?
What?
Magic Kingdom is a smaller park, so don't you think they would have put capacity lower and tried to balance it out and made it higher at Animal Kingdom?
You would think.
It almost seems like it's the same. Yeah. So the same size crowd is packing into Magic Kingdom. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they keep the cleanliness measures up. But, yes, I felt like everything was clean. The thing I was going to start talking about was our experience at Restaurantosaurus.
Oh, yeah.
Two things. First of all, this is the first time we've ever eaten at Restaurantosaurus. Never
That's
been
a
in there.
Terrible name.
I know. It's a little silly. The main reason
I can only imagine the planning meeting. Guys, we have a restaurant in Dinoland. What do we call it? Crap. We're like 5 minutes to lunch. Restaurantosaurus. Lunch, lunch, lunch. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go have lunch at Restaurantosaurus. This was our first time going in there, and I will say that the main reason is probably because it's burgers, chicken nuggets. You can get fried shrimp. But that's, and a salad. They had a salad.
Yeah, you compared it to Captain D's, and he's like, and that's a good thing. Is it, Jay?
I like
is
Captain good D's. Thing? I like crunchy shrimp from Captain D's.
It's just, it's food.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was nice to get food.
The burger was nothing spectacular. I got to try some of Garrett's cheeseburger, and the fries are the fries. It's the fries you get everywhere on the park.
Yeah, I mean, they're good.
Good. What?
They're good, he said. Good.
Yeah, I love fries, so I was like downing them.
And the only dessert option was the brownie, that caramel brownie, and
it was fine. Yeah.
Ringing endorsement. Garrett says it's food. The brownie, it's fine.
Yeah, there was honestly, I guess you go there if you've got picky eaters, because
it's not bad.
It's not bad, it's just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not everything has to be a 5-star dining experience.
And then you won't be hungry anymore.
Exactly.
Boom. Exactly. There you go.
If all you're doing is looking to fill the hunger meter, then that's where you go. I mean, it's not Satu Lee Canteen where things are a little more adventurous and,
yeah,
you know, maybe people don't want that.
It's pretty Dino Land.
Yeah, it is pretty Dino Land.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I like that.
I can't wait until Garrett opens his Disney food blog. That's going to be hilarious.
But here's what the experience was like. So what they are asking you to do, this is a quick service location where you would typically go up to one of the cash registers, you'd place your order, you'd wait, you know, they give you a receipt, you wait for them to put it all on the tray, and then you take it away. What they're asking you to do now is mobile order while you're outside, and then once you arrive at the restaurant, you hit the I'm here button, then you wait until one of the cast members calls you in because your food is ready. Then Whoa. You go inside, get your tray, and then you can either sit inside or out. But really actually worked pretty well because you didn't have to line up with anybody. Actually, we didn't get anywhere near anybody.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and the tables were spaced out pretty well. Mm-hmm. So that worked out.
Yeah. So I guess that means going forward, like literally every dining option will have a mobile order option, because I remember last time I was down there, not everything, most did, but not everything did.
I think except for table service, which is different.
Right. Well, that makes sense. But I think quick service.
Yeah, quick service. Okay. I think they have expanded it to where anything that's open that's quick service is a mobile order option.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Because not everything's open either. That's something else we noticed.
Yay, technology. I like mobile.
No, I'm all for it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, even before all this corona stuff, you suckers go stand in line. I'm going to stand off to the side, hit three buttons on my phone, and be like, hey, that's me. That's me. Yeah. Give me my food.
Oh, yeah. We did it at Columbia Harbor House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's even better for me because I don't have to talk to them.
One of the parts that we have to talk about is Nomad Lounge.
We should. Yeah.
Because I had to take a conference call, unfortunately.
But you had to work while you were at Disney?
Yeah.
Hey, better, worst places to work, now that I say it out loud. So.
Yeah, and I couldn't miss it. It was an international call. So.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, you have to like accommodate them a little bit, too, because time zones and stuff. So
slightly different, I hear, around the world.
Yeah, so I made the family do a stop there. And one of the cool things while we were sitting there is we hear drums all of a sudden. I'm like, I literally said, are you kidding me right now? Because I'm trying to hear this conference call. And
here comes the pontoon rocking out on the drums. It was pretty awesome.
And I'm already struggling to understand their accent a little bit, you know? But then I'm like, wait, what is that? And I got all excited. I put the phone down. I was like, if they try to talk to me, that's just too bad. And I run over and there's like pontoon boats that are going by the Nomad Lounge and like all across the water around Animal Kingdom. Pocahontas was on one with the raccoon.
Is his name Miko?
Miko. Yeah, that's right. And then we had like Donald,
Daisy and Launchpad
and Chip and Dell in their dinosaur outfits.
With Goofy.
Awesome.
And yeah, and Goofy. And then the band was playing and it was just so neat.
It was cool. It was a nice little kind of added ambience because honestly, like when we were walking over when we were walking to Everest, we start hearing because they've got these speakers on each one of the pontoons that you know they're coming. They're loud.
You can't miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, they are drums. So.
Yeah, but not just the drums, like the ones with just the characters. Like, you know they're coming. And they were playing like Walking on Sunshine.
Yeah.
And so you can just kind of step over to the side and there they go. They're waving at you, dancing. And like the way that they're doing it is good because I don't think it wasn't causing people to bunch up because you could see them from everywhere.
And you're not going to go like hug them or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was so sweet because there was this little boy and he saw one of the boats and he was like, and trying to scream. And they actually heard him and turned around. And I was thinking, how can they hear him, you know? Because they actually turned around and was like, oh, hi, you know? And I was thinking,
they can hear everything.
Geez. Yeah. Supersonic hearing.
They're superheroes.
Yeah.
So that is a cool feat. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Too bad I was grumpy at first about it. I can't hear anything.
I will say, it's an interesting contrast to kind of the serene nature of most of Animal Kingdom to suddenly have a boat going by blasting Walking on
Especially
Sunshine.
Especially when Animal Kingdom's empty and it's just kind of like calm and really nature-y and stuff.
Yeah.
And when you start hearing like music blasting and you see a boat with a bunch of Disney
and
characters on it.
It's like a boat day. They're out there hitting the natty
and
ice.
And here comes a boat playing like Three Dogs Night or something. She's just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was really neat, I thought.
I think it's cool, too. I just also think it's a little bit shocking.
Yeah. And then the next thing. There are no ribs.
No ribs at Nomad Lounge.
No ribs at Nomad Lounge at all.
First of all, it's dim ribs. And I know by request, Frank Cardillo wanted a CM Punk-esque pipe bomb where I just like rip them. I'll be honest, I don't have it in me. This just makes me sad.
It makes me sad.
Like I can't conjure the anger and the hate for a pipe bomb. I'm just sad about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with all this going on, I do realize ribs, not exactly the best food to be eating where you're literally handling them with your hands.
Yeah. You know what I felt whenever I heard about the ribs being gone? Absolutely nothing.
Great. Thanks.
Wow. The dagger into my heart. Good Lord, man.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I think every place has a limited menu right now. I don't know why the ribs were chosen for the chopping block. Maybe just the prep is more
ribs
intense than some
virus.
Of the other stuff.
Well, there's also the meat facilities.
That's true.
Like packing facilities have an issue with viruses. So meat's more expensive right now.
That's true.
And so it could be because they know it's going to cost more. And with the limited menu, they have other stuff. So they could just feel that it's, you know, something that they could not spend the money on and not raise the price on right now.
Well, you say they have other stuff, but every time I've been to Nomad Lounge, I only get one thing. So I don't know what this other stuff is.
That's true, but there is some delicious things.
Yeah, you can get the Tiffin's bread service at Nomad Lounge, and while I will say Sanaa bread service, another level, so much better. But the Tiffin's bread service is still pretty good, and then the churros are still available.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Huh. Okay, well, I guess that kind of torpedoes my theory that they removed them because you have to use your hands.
Right.
I mean, churros. I mean, I guess you could use a fork.
Nah,
no.
Weirdo. No, but I mean, like, that is a very literal hands-on eating.
So is the bread service too. So.
Well, and the watermelon on the watermelon drink you eat with your hand.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a charcuterie board?
There used to be. I don't think it was on the small plates.
It wasn't.
Menu.
That's sad too, because I really like that stinky cheese.
Yeah.
Actually, now that y'all mention it, one time when I was down with y'all, we ordered like every appetizer and just shared with the whole table.
Yeah,
we did.
That's our style.
Take that, my beliefs.
That's our style.
Also, that's something we can't do anymore. God, this sucks. Uh-huh. Yeah. This truly is the darkest timeline.
We can do it. We just can't tell anyone.
But one thing. So one thing we haven't mentioned about the Nomad Lounge experience was that you can't sit at the bar.
No.
So there are no seats at the bar.
Mm-mm.
And the bartenders are actually kind of playing the role of server. So they're walking around helping serve tables.
But they got to make money too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. You got to adapt. But I mean, I guess that makes sense because even here locally, when for whatever reason we decided to reopen restaurants, like there was no bar seating even in reopened restaurants because I mean, people go and sit at the bar for, you know, 20 to 40 minutes if you're a functioning alcoholic hours like me. So, I mean, not surprising, but still disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rib news, I'm not going to lie. That just shook me to the core. That was a bummer when I heard that yesterday.
Yeah.
But the good news is we got to go back to Nomad Lounge. And
the Tempting Tigress is still a drink on the menu.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess as long as they still serve Kungaloosh, life will find a way.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry, that's a reference to the other park, my bad.
But they are, the other thing is they are seating you. So you go up and you actually talk to a hostess and then she or he is seating you. They'll ask you whether you want to be inside or out. And then we actually were able to pick our seats, but because we were literally the first people in Nomad Lounge yesterday.
But y'all like rope dropping
we
or
did.
Something?
Yeah. We did.
We do it in style. We're first.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, congratulations on reopening Nomad Lounge. We in the Disney community are in your debt.
Yeah. It was good. It was good to be back. So what did we miss?
I think that's about it.
We could talk
Festival
about Dinosaur.
Festival of the Lion King wasn't open.
Festival of the Lion King is not open. Oh!
That's a bummer.
Oh! By the way, one of the things we noticed on the list of things that were unavailable was the Up! A Great Bird Adventure show was not supposed to be open when the parks reopened. And so we were like, oh, well, maybe they're going to use it as a rest area. So while we were making the video yesterday, we walked by, I realized people were going in. So we went over and talked to a cast member and they were like, yeah. And I didn't say, is Up a Great Bird Adventure happening? I said, are you all still doing the show? And she was like, yeah, there's one in 15 minutes, looking at me like I'm stupid. And I'm like, okay, well, all right. So we came back later because what I noticed too on the posted times board, they were only putting up a time at a time, like just one time.
Interesting.
And then they would take it down.
There wasn't like it. They would be like, okay, let's do one now. So they'll put a time.
Yeah. So they, so
they
as
didn't
we
have,
were
like, a schedule, maybe,
maybe, maybe no schedule. So we were walking around our second lap around the park. We're coming up to the Up a Great Bird Adventure theater. And we noticed, a show's starting in like now, like it was literally 3:30 and we were like, it's starting now. I think we might have been some of the last people in.
Yeah, once people get in and they get ready to start the show, they close the curtains and you can't come in or out.
No in or out. Yeah, and the way they have it is bleacher seating, but every other bleacher is blocked, and then they have markers on the benches that say, do not sit here. And it's about space for three people to sit in between the markers. At least the three of us could fit. So we squeezed in there, and there was a show. And they said in the middle of the show, this is a soft opening and we're trying things out. Like they did stuff on stage and the guy was like, we've never done this in front of a crowd before. So let's see how this goes.
Wow.
They were just doing things and it was real. And I liked it a lot.
It was
lot.
Pretty cool.
I liked it a lot more than the Up one because the Up one felt more rehearsed. And it was like a story. This was just, they were showing you some cool birds.
Bird experts playing with the birds, showing you what the birds could do. It was pretty fun.
I mean, there were things that were supposed to happen that were like funny little joke things that they trained the birds to do. But they were also just like bringing birds out, showing you what they can do and stuff.
Yes. So and I don't know. I'm going to say this because I don't think this is part of the show. I think this really was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So they train. There's one bird that before the show starts, he comes out and he picks up a plastic bottle and he actually puts it in the recycling bin. because I guess this is like one of the smarter birds they have. So when he comes back out on the stage, they've trained him to untie the guy, one of the cast members' shoes. So he'll jump down and untie the shoe, and then he gets a treat. The guy ties his shoe, stands back up. The bird jumps down and unties his shoe again.
Yeah, he was like, this is why we don't reinforce negative behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that goes on for a minute, and then they go to put the bird away. They're like, okay, it was fun seeing you.
Well, he bent down to tie his shoe.
Well, right, but they had sent the bird back.
They sent the bird away.
And so he bends down to tie his shoe for the last time. The bird came back out on his own, and it came and it pulled his mic cable and ran off with it. And so he stood up and he was like, is my mic off? Can you all hear me? And the cast member that was working with him just was, she was laughing. She was like, that was an unintended consequence. We didn't...
Bird's just out there hot dogging a grandstander. That's hilarious. Yeah.
So he actually had to go backstage and get a new mic. And she brought out like a macaw to come and like talk to the crowd and do some like just... It sang a song. It was really cute. But she was like...
A macaw.
What was it?
It was a kind of parrot though.
Okay.
But it had a different head shape than macaws.
Well, but anyway, she was like, I'm just filling time until he can get his mic fixed. Yeah, because...
It was really awkward for her. She was like, I'm... gonna bring this bird out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but it felt natural and it felt off the cuff and everybody was just happy with whatever was happening. It
and
was
I
good.
Feel like that show was unique, like that was those cast members doing their show.
Yeah
and they were having fun with it.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
They did tell us.
I'm glad you talked about the layout of the seating, because that was something I was curious when you said that they are doing the show. It's like, doesn't that kind of attract a lot of people to sit in one area together for a while?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you covered that. No, I think it plays to the advantage of it being an outdoor open area, because I mean, unlike say Festival of the Lion King, that is an enclosed area. And now reports are saying it's, the virus is more easily transmittable in closed areas.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that made the difference. And we were very spaced out in there.
Yeah, and you have to wear your mask.
And you know what? Maybe that's part of why they're not posting all the times, because maybe they feel like if they do post
people
all the times, people
up.
Will crowd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People will line up for it.
Yeah. But it is. It's an unannounced show. It's called Feather Friends in Flight. And I guess it's going to be something that they're doing, but so just watch for it. I guess throughout the day, if you're in that area, it may be happening. It may not be happening.
I have another sad thing that's missing from the park.
Okay.
Where they sell the Dole Whip, there's a cake that's there. It's
the
like
upside
the
down cake.
Nope, it's no. Not upside down. It's like
Oh yeah,
Maclava or something.
Mufasa,
the Mufasa cake.
It's like a cinnamon cake with like a warm cinnamon cake with vanilla ice cream on it, and it was so daggone good. And I could like the family could get their Dole Whip, and I could get that and eat that, you know, and it's gone.
Wait, is it okay to get Dole Whip there though?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it okay? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's more than fine. Yeah, but you know that kind of sinks for me, because that's another treat that I can't have.
Yeah,
yeah. Have noted pineapple connoisseur Sam over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Pineapple.
Yeah, the bane of your existence.
Yeah, pineapple hates me so much it tries to kill me.
So we are jumping around a little bit, but I wanted to mention our experience on Dinosaur, because the ride vehicles have been modified.
Yes.
They actually do have plexiglass between every row on the Dinosaur ride vehicles.
They did that on Kilimanjaro Safari, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting.
It isn't. It's more vinyl than it is plexiglass, yeah. But it's like a clear vinyl kind of a window between each row. On Kilimanjaro.
Mm-hmm.
See, on Kilimanjaro, I mean, I see that. That doesn't surprise me, but on an action dark ride like Dinosaur, having plexiglass, I mean, that's kind of surprising. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad they're doing it, but like, there is a lot of herky-jerky stop-and-go action, especially on Dinosaur.
Yeah, but it's the way they've placed it. You wouldn't hit your head on it or anything. It's,
we were in the front row anyways.
We were in the front.
Yeah.
Have it.
It was actually, I felt like the ride was darker than usual.
It was darker. You couldn't see anything in there.
It was weird. It's like they dimmed it even more. Or
I kept thinking both times when you see the Carnotaurus, it's
the
so
Jerkosaurus.
Yeah, it's so dark. You know, I remember them being, you almost couldn't see them, and especially the time where you get your picture made.
Yeah.
I feel like before, you could always kind of see them coming a little bit, and then it would show them in, like,
lights,
boom. You could really see them. This time, it was pitch black, and then they would show up.
Yeah, but just in dim light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, eventually, hopefully soon, our ride photos will show up.
Yeah, we haven't gotten those yet.
And we can see if it's as dark as we thought it was.
Yeah.
Because it looked dark.
It was very dark.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't gotten our on-ride photos, but there are cast members all around the parks taking pictures. And by the way, there are, like, no lines for the cast members taking pictures. And most of them, like, when you do come up to get your picture made, we did it several times yesterday, they turn it into a photo shoot. They're like, all right, now do this pose. Now
oh,
do
that's
this.
Cool.
Yeah, like, they really play with you a lot, which was really cool. So we got some good pictures from the cast members yesterday.
Yeah, we had fun. And I made Garrett, you know, hate everything because I hugged him in one of the pictures.
But the cast members, I think, are excited to be back. They're excited for people to be in the parks, and we're excited to see them. And I think that, you know, we've always said it's the cast members that make the magic anyway. And
still doing it.
Yep. Be good to your cast members.
Speaking of cast members, Justin got to take a picture with a Disney famous cast member.
I did.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, this is funny. So here's a plug for our Monday Morning Monorail family Facebook group. You better go join that Facebook group, because here's what I've decided. I think we should only live stream to the Facebook group.
Well,
when we're in the parks.
Video quality is video much better than Twitter.
The video quality,
man,
is actually,
yeah, no kidding. I don't tell my boss. I was kind of watching y'all's live stream, and it's like I saw the notification on my phone. Oh, Jay's going live on the Twitter. Holy crap! Yeah, I don't know if Twitter was just having a bad day or something, but the Facebook quality was 1,000 times better.
It's always like that from my Android when I try to live stream from the parks. Yeah, it's but Facebook
Android.
Facebook was super clear.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know, it's weird, but anyway.
Of course it was clear.
Okay, but anyway. So join that Monday Morning Monorail family Facebook group, because I think going forward, that's going to be a benefit of being part of the group. We'll do our in-park live streaming on the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, join that group, and you can see there is a video there already that Sam made as we're leaving the park, saying goodbye to the Tree of Life. We're walking the Tree of Life at our backs towards the exit. And I see a crowd of nicely dressed gentlemen coming our way. And I look over at Sam while she's on the live stream. And I was like, that's Josh Damaro. And she was like, what?
Oh, my God. It's a great, big, beautiful Damaro. My buddy Josh. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so now some people stopped him before we could get there and took a picture with him. But as he finished talking to them, he came towards us. And he wasn't trying to run away or anything. Like he saw that we wanted to say hi, and so he was very gracious. And I did a social distance selfie with Josh Damaro, and I just held the camera up, and it was funny because the way my selfie camera works is if you put your palm up, it actually starts the timer to take the picture. So he reached up his hand to wave, and it started the timer, and I was like, oh, here we go.
So, ready or not. Yeah.
So it took the picture, and then he stood and talked to us a minute and complimented my Mickey mask.
Yeah, he was like, I like your all's mask, and, you know, all I said to the other gentlemen who were with him, but they were still walking.
Yeah, they walked on.
But I just told them that I appreciated them opening up and everything they did to make this happen.
Yeah.
So... But
that's awesome.
They were all really nice. And actually, Josh, I guess he knows now he's like Diz famous, and he has to, you know, probably even if he doesn't want to.
When you're the face of Disney parks, you kind of have to put on a smile, even if you don't want to put on a smile.
But he genuinely seemed like he didn't mind talking to us.
It was similar to our Joe Rohde experience, where I felt like he didn't have to be as nice and generous with his time as he was.
Yeah.
And he just, because of the fact, you know, he gets stopped by all kinds of people, and it felt like we were not bothering him.
No, he didn't make us feel that way.
Which was really nice.
That's fantastic.
But Joe Rohde was like, let's have a long conversation.
Yeah, he talked to us a long time.
I really felt like I had no idea who he was. I didn't know he was that important because of how chill he was with the whole thing.
Very down to earth. friendly dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear Bob Chapek was in Magic Kingdom. I'm glad we got Josh.
Yeah, Bobby Chaps, you're cool. Whatever. Where's Josh?
Yeah, so. It was fun.
So is there any other big Disney people you're going to meet specifically in Animal Kingdom?
I'm sure we're going to soon to meet Marty Sklar. We're, you know.
No, we're going to meet Walt Disney at Animal.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Walt's going to show up one day while y'all in Nomad Lounge with his infamous two-finger point. Yeah. Like, sorry, you're not supposed to smoke in here. Oh, my God, it's you.
Yeah, you can do whatever
I mean,
you want.
I will say, I have met Mickey Mouse in Animal Kingdom, so I don't
well,
know.
Well, I mean, he is kind of a big deal, too.
Yeah, and I've met Pocahontas there, too, and I think she's a pretty big deal.
I
yeah.
met
yeah,
Donald
Yeah, she's a
Duck.
Princess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you think people who are even like Disney corporate, but famous enough that people notice them, do you think that they have like a character-esque autograph? Like if you ask them to sign an autograph book, would they have a Disney autograph?
Why not?
It'd be kind of cool if they
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
I don't really want a Bob autograph, but I would get a Josh autograph. That'd be cool.
I bet they do. Why not?
If I was part of Disney and I was famous, if someone tried to get my autograph, I'd just write, haha, your mom.
No.
Well, you wouldn't be a Disney person very long then.
I get a stamp, like a cat paw.
Like, doesn't Buzz Lightyear do it?
Yeah, stamp? Buzz has a stamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that'd be like Buzz Lightyear and put a stamp of a cat paw and it'd say underneath it, Sam.
You put some thought into this.
Yeah, I did.
So, I don't know. Just a thought. But, yeah, I mean, I think we've pretty much covered it. I here's what I'll say. Let's wrap it up with a comparison to what we've experienced at Universal. Even if the crowd was twice what we experienced yesterday, I felt so much more comfortable at Disney. Every time we go to Universal, we end up having to really struggle to social distance from people.
It's hard. Everybody crowds too, and you can't get them to move like away from you. They don't care that they're on your shoulder.
No, they almost do it on purpose.
Yeah,
it seems like. And the the team members at Universal, while they've been reminding people to do the mask thing, there is much less compliance as compared to what we saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
People try to really get away with pulling those masks down, taking them off, trying to find a way to walk around without the mask on their face. In the lines, we do our best to stay away from people, but it's really crazy. Like, and Universal doesn't have the plexiglass stuff going for them.
The one thing Universal does do though is they make you sanitize before you get on the ride.
That's true.
And I think that's a good idea. And Disney's not doing that. So it's optional to sanitize at Disney. And I think they should do the same thing and give everybody a bottle of sanitizer. If you want on this ride, you're going to put this on your hands.
Yeah, there should be a cast member, right? The ones that always ask you how many in your party. There's one there anyway. Why can't they squirt your hands with hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that was really the only thing I think that they could, so far from what we've seen, that they could improve. And I think they'll continue to tweak things, but I know we've seen some reports this morning that the entry process at Magic Kingdom did not go super well today. So.
In history. Since you're listening to this on Monday.
Yeah.
This over the weekend.
This was Saturday morning. Right. So Saturday morning. July the 11th, there were some reports that it was kind of a mess. And so my thought is we can avoid that because we are going to Magic Kingdom tomorrow on Sunday. I think we just wait and don't try to get there when it opens.
I mean, I don't think we need to. And we'll get to do stuff. And I understand people who are out of town wanting to go early, but
I guess most bang for your buck, so to speak.
Yeah, it makes sense for them. I'd rather them be able to get there early than us, you know.
So I'm looking at the My Disney Experience app right now, looking at Magic Kingdom. It's 3:00 on Saturday. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is closed.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
But it's a 10-minute wait right now for Peter Pan. It's 25 for Haunted Mansion. 25 for Pirates. I'm looking over at Space Mountain. It's 25 minutes. I mean, with wait times like that, and people earlier said that the posted time for Peter Pan was 25 minutes, and it was actually more like 5. With wait times like this, you don't have to be there for 10 hours in the day.
Mm-mm.
You can get a lot done. And the only thing is, I don't think the People Mover's running yet.
And, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's a good
also,
one.
Also, the thing about that 25
minute... It must be a weather thing. Sorry, Garrett.
The thing about that 25 minute thing is that's what Navi River Journey said, and I definitely feel like it was a lot less than that.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it looks like maybe they're having some weather at Magic Kingdom right now, because not only is Seven Dwarfs down, so is the Tomorrowland Speedway and Jungle Cruise. So,
well, I have heard that Florida has some interesting weather in the summer, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just a little. Last night, it was just, like, constant storm, like thundering and lightning and... And it shakes the house sometimes. I'm just like, holy crap.
Ooh, there was one. My blinds were closed, and it still lit up my room.
Yeah. Because
it was, like, really close.
Jeez.
Yeah. Ooh. The lightning is, like, on top of you, it feels like. And it, because it, you'll see the flash, and you hear crack. And it's like, holy crap. That's here. That's in my face. So.
Or somebody just flashes their crack. It is Florida, after all.
Yeah, that's true.
Florida man is a thing.
Wouldn't be surprised if that happened to me.
So, Landon, based on what you've heard from us, how would you feel going into the parks right now? Would it make you feel comfortable?
Just based on everything y'all talked about, what you experienced at Animal Kingdom, it does make me feel a little bit better. But like I said, I'm still not heading down to Florida anytime soon. Though, unfortunately, I can't say anything because locally the CDC has declared Knox County a COVID hotspot. So good job, East Tennessee. We did it, question mark. But it does sound like they are taking this seriously, as they should, and they have implemented a lot of stuff to try and prevent the spread of anything, let alone corona. So it does make me feel better with the steps that Disney has implemented, because I'll be honest, earlier this week I was looking, let's see what April 2021 looks like. Yeah, because, you know, me and my mom, we had that killer trip planned, and we still intend to come down next year if things will ever settle the bleep down. But yeah, I do still have that itch, and hearing that stuff has made me felt better about the possibility of that happening, because Disney is taking this seriously.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I think that Disney will continue to do. I do believe that they will continue to tweak their processes. I think that what happened this morning, they're going to try to adjust because you know that they're hearing about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it may be some cast member tweaking. It may be some new training. It may be changing how they line people up. But I have the faith that Disney will make the changes.
Oh, I do too.
And
absolutely.
So, you know, I would say a month from now, this thing's going to be running like a well-oiled machine, and it'll just be the only variable will be the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
so
they're the worst.
Guests are the worst.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
But I just feel pretty good about what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
How they handle people who are not complying with the rules. They're pretty good. Like, Disney always does things in a way that makes you feel like you can't be rude to them because they're so nice, you know? But I also think if someone did get really rude, that it would be taken care of. Like, I don't know. I just have a lot of faith in them.
Yeah.
And plus, it's my favorite place ever. They get a little more forgiveness from me, even if they did mess up.
Understandable.
I know we're a Disney podcast, and we've made a lot of jokes in the past about Universal being the park that shall not be named. But after spending our last 3 amusement park, theme park days in Universal, and then going to Animal Kingdom, which some people feel like is the weakest of the Disney Orlando parks. I don't agree, but some people feel that way.
They're wrong. Yeah.
Wrong.
But honestly, there's no comparison.
Really?
I realize it's a whole different experience, but Universal clearly views Disney as a competitor, and I can tell you I know that for sure, because Sam agreed to do a survey coming out of Universal. The last question they asked her was,
Well, they ask a series of last questions.
Well, right, but what was the one about Disney?
They ask if I've been to Disney in the last, or if I own a pass or something, and I said yeah.
Yeah.
And then they ask me, who do you like better, Universal or Disney? And I was like,
wow.
Yeah. Straight up asked the question.
I was like, well, Disney?
Yeah.
This is awkward.
If you answer Disney, they're like, okay, then.
Yeah. Well, fine. Be that way. We don't like you either.
They throw a drink in your face.
Yeah.
How dare you? First of all, how dare you? No.
But seriously, they asked that question. Here's something, by the way, Disney's never going to ask you. Do you prefer Universal or Disney? Because you know what? They know the answer.
Yeah. I mean, when he said that, I was like, oh. And he goes, well, I was like, obviously, I like Disney.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys are great, but Disney is like...
I just don't like you that way. It's me. It's not you, Universal.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. And I cherish our friendship, and I don't want to ruin that, okay? Yeah. That seems really petty on Universal.
It's hilarious. Wow.
I was shocked that that was the question. I mean...
But here's that's kind of what I'm getting at, is Universal views Disney as a competitor. Disney does not have a competitor.
Mm-mm.
They're Disney.
Disney is Disney.
Yeah.
They set the standard when it comes to the world of amusement parks.
Yeah. It's so impressive. Isn't it funny that I could have cared less like 2 years ago?
And here you are.
I know. Yesterday we were walking through Animal Kingdom. I was like, I'm going to cry. I love this place so much.
So, very good. I think we've said all we can say about Animal Kingdom. And now we're ready for our Magic Kingdom Day.
Yes.
So
I hope it goes well.
Yeah, we'll have a little
bit. I do too, because as we've already established, that the guests are the worst, and there's going to be more of them for you, so please be safe and smart and all that good stuff.
We will try our very best.
Yeah.
So, Landon, it's always good to have you. Let's tell people where they can find you on the interwebs.
At Skellagummy on Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else.
Hashtag Skellagummy everywhere. I want a Skellagummy everywhere t-shirt in y'all's TeePublic store.
That'd be
we
cool.
can do that.
Absolutely. Like get it, like put it in the Metallica font, like Skellagummy, and then below it everywhere.
Yep.
Okay, I've already thought of it. Boom, make it happen. L-A-N-D-O-Z, please go follow me, Landon Doan. I'm the best, Landon Doan, not the rest. That's where you can follow me, 280 characters at a time on Twitter. I also want a website, buttmunchchips.com. Buttmunchchips.
Sit on your butt and munch.
That's where you can find exclusively posted episodes of Game of Thrones Talk, a.k.a. Got Talk, where myself, Hunter East, and the occasionally appearing Cousin Kevin talk about HBO's award-winning series, Game of Thrones. We have a Season 7 rundown of just me and Hunter. Cousin Kevin joins us in Season 8, and you can feel the joy and excitement leave our bodies as we go further down Season 8. I only speak for myself, of course, because that's what I'm doing. I speak for myself. Also, I appear on Near Fall Radio, available in the iTunes store, where you myself and Will Rabb talk about the sweet science of professional wrestling. We'll have a new episode up probably this week, breaking down both nights of AEW Fighter Fest, and a pretty good show. Also, NXT had some good shows this past week, with Keith Lee winning the NXT Heavyweight Championship, so he now owns both that and the North American Championship, and that's about all good I can say about the WWE product.
Something I forgot to tell you.
Oh, and Sasha Banks and Bayley, they're good too. And Asuka. Man, on SmackDown last night, they had a karaoke contest. What? Are you bleeping kidding me? You're professional wrestling and you have a karaoke contest? What the hell was that, Bruce Pritchard? I'm also available up here on The Phil Show, newstalk987.com, streaming worldwide, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and available in the iHeartRadio app and the Newstalk 987 app as well.
Thanks so much for joining us today. And you know what? You out there listening, you're part of our family too.
If you join the Monorail family on Facebook.
Well, you could do that.
No, just kidding. You are part of the family.
That makes you official family.
I guess I'm not official family then.
You're not.
Are you really not in the Facebook group? I'm surprised your dad hadn't kicked you out of the house.
I don't have Facebook.
Oh, good for you. Garrett's the smartest one of us all.
No, I didn't delete my account. I deleted the app.
Oh.
Okay.
Because I don't want it stealing more of my data.
Well, if you do have Facebook or even just log into the site, you can join our Monday Morning Monorail family on Facebook. On Twitter, we're at Morning Monorail. We're Monday Morning Monorail everywhere else. And if you have trouble remembering all of this information, just visit MondayMorningMonorailPodcast.com.
We'll be happy if you join, and so will Mark Zuckerberg.
Great.
That guy's weird.
Yeah.
If you want to see more of our in-park content, make sure you're subscribed to Monday Morning Monorail on the YouTube. But you know what? We're just happy you're here listening to the podcast, and we hope you do that again next week. Until then, have a magical week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for riding with us today. We hope you enjoyed the journey, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, we want to hear from you. Send us questions, comments, and suggestions on Twitter at Morning Monorail. Our email address is MondayMorningMonorail@gmail.com. You can also call our voicemail at 407-917-2144. As we approach the station, gather your belongings and please watch your step as you exit.
See y'all real soon.